Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and AgDay's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Here at the Almond Joy Factory, where tropical vibes abound, we use soft, fresh-tasting coconut.
The crunchiest almonds and delicious chocolate candy.
Ah, but do you know what our most important ingredient is?
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't.
Almond Joy's got nuts and something even way better than that. Yes, Almond Joy is made with almonds and joy.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The FBI's reopening or pushing for more resources for three cases. The January 6th pipe bomber who targeted Republican and Democratic offices in Washington, the cocaine found at the White House over 4th of July weekend 2023, and the leaked Supreme Court opinion which overturned Roe v. Wade. ABC's Stephen Portnoy in Washington.
The Secret Service previously investigated the cocaine incident with the FBI's assistance, and the marshal of the Supreme Court looked into the Dobbs leak. No suspects were identified.
President Trump laying a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington National Cemetery in Washington during annual ceremonies, praising the nation's war dead, calling them great, great warriors, and taking a swipe at his opponents. President Trump announces he's delaying his tariffs on the European Union to July 9th after a call with the trading bloc's leader. Last night, Russia launched 355 attack and decoy drones against Ukraine, an all-time record, say Ukrainian officials. This is ABC News. King Charles has arrived in Ottawa on a visit that Canada's leader says will underscore his nation's sovereignty amid U.S. President Trump's talk of the United States taking it over. Mr. Trump's repeated suggestion that the U.S. annex Canada prompted Prime Minister Mark Carney to invite Charles to give the speech from the throne that will outline his government's agenda for the new parliament. Memorial Day is a good time to grab good shopping deals amid likely trade tariff price hikes, says ABC's Becky Worley.
Shop now on big ticket items like appliances. So, an example, Best Buy with up to 50% off of clearance appliances, plus an extra 10% off basically all the appliances they have offered with the code SAVE10. I'm seeing advice to buy a couple extra everyday items to hedge against price increases. One sale that could help with that is Amazon offering a wide selection of home cleaning products and supplies. Spend 50 and get a $15 discount.
Our Becky Worley, Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
These are all the things you would hear upon getting into and starting your car. Going wherever the road takes you. It's just, there was one sound noticeably missing.
Oh, man.
Remember, click it or ticket. You don't want to fine, and it just might save your life. So don't risk it. Click it or ticket. This message is brought to you by NHTSA.
Memorial Day savings are here at the Home Depot, with free delivery and up to 40% off, plus up to an extra $450 off select appliances like LG. Plan your get-togethers with an LG refrigerator you can count on at the Home Depot. And with the connected ThinQ app, you'll know when to replace the filter. Spend less time worrying this Memorial Day with savings on LG, America's most reliable appliance brand, at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $396 or more. Offer valid May 15th through June 4th. U.S. only. See store or online for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. At the Capitol, legislation known as Braden's Law has passed the Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. Representative Brent Jacobson of Mosinee says it keeps state law current with dangers that teens face online amid a rise in sextortion, soliciting intimate images from victims, and threatening to release them if they don't pay up.
This needs to be specifically itemized in our statutes and criminalized to the serious degree that we can.
The bill, named after a Wisconsin teen who took his own life after falling prey to sextortion, designates the offense as a Class B felony punishable by up to 60 years in prison. It's now ready to be scheduled for a vote by the full assembly. A Portage County man accused of shooting his brother during an argument pleads not guilty to attempted homicide.
Justin Wotalowicz entered the plea for that count and several others, including aggravated battery, recklessly endangering safety, and being a felon in possession of a firearm. Investigators say he shot Ryan Wotalowicz in the leg, causing serious injuries. The 42-year-old was arrested at the scene and has been held on a $1 million bond. He'll face a week-long trial in mid-August. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You can prepare for ATV-UTV riding season by taking a Department of Natural Resources-approved safety course. Off-Highway Vehicle Administrator Jacob Holzklaw says they want people to be safe and responsible out on the trails.
These courses really provide a good avenue for that. They provide a good basis of, okay, these are the rules, these are the requirements. Even though we have that date and some people born before that, you know, they're grandfathered in, we would encourage all ATV and UTV operators to take that safety course.
Any operator at least age 12 and born on or after January 1st of 1998 is required to complete an approved safety course and carry their proof of certification while riding. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN Radio at 1430 AM and now at 107.3 FM. Call 672-8989 today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to the low 70s for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at around 5 to 10. Tonight, becoming mostly cloudy, we'll drop down to 52. Tomorrow, cloudy with an isolated shower or thundershower and a high in the mid-60s. Get better, faster internet and pay less with Whole Home Connect. Call today, 800-217-9129. That's 800-217-9129. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
Let's talk weather. Happy Memorial Day. It is the official start of unofficial summer. That's according to the handsome news guy, Davis Michelson. The markets were closed today, but we are not taking the day off. We've got a fresh conversation with a spotlight on the weather coming your way.
From Memorial Day afternoon via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's an extended conversation with BAM WX weatherologist Brett Waltz. Later, Kerry Archak from Archak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you so much. Happy Memorial Day, my friend.
Woo-hoo! Happy Memorial Day to you and to us all.
Yeah, to us all out there. We talked about it this morning, but we are remembering all the military that made the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that we enjoy today. We talked about it this morning. It is okay to say Happy Memorial Day because that is honoring the sacrifice that they made.
That's right. That's right. Enjoy the freedoms that they set up for us.
That's exactly right. And, of course, we recognize the sacrifice that the families of fallen military have made as well. And a thank you out to all of those for your sacrifice in allowing us to live the lives that we live. So
Hear.
Yeah, yeah. Memorial Day. Holy mackerel. How did
already.
This happen?
I don't know. Just the other day, it was Christmas, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. And Of course, this is the weekend. Mm-hmm. This is the holiday that typically, if we're going to get into some kind of a weather market, this is the weekend where everybody starts paying much, much closer attention to not only the current growing conditions, but we start to do more of an assessment of what has gotten us to the point that we're at right now. We start to look at just how far behind or how far ahead normal the crops are. And boy, oh boy, we start leaning on the weather forecasters trying to get a good idea of what is coming. And we're going to be doing that today. Brett Waltz, who is usually with us on Monday mornings, is going to be with us on Monday afternoon. And we are going to take a deep dive into the spring growing conditions, what we're dealing with right now. And of course, we're going to get Brett to give us his best shot at what to expect this summer. So good conversation coming your way with Brett.
Yeah, timely, you might say.
Oh, like perfectly timed, yeah, almost.
Yeah. Almost like we did it on purpose. I don't know.
What a coinky dink. Love it, love it, love it. All right, buddy, let's go ahead and get to some news. What do you got?
Sure thing. Well, the U.S. dollar index traded sharply lower on Friday. That may have helped to limit losses in wheat futures and to support gains in spring wheat. The weather forecast for U.S. spring wheat country turned hotter and drier, and the market reacted with gains, while winter wheat futures corrected to the downside after pushing higher earlier last week. A dry forecast for Russia's southern region, Ukraine, and western Kazakhstan also helped support spring wheat futures. July spring wheat futures posted solid gains at the start of the week and finished with back-to-back inside trading days to consolidate those gains on Friday. July HRW wheat futures on Friday's close were a penny and a quarter lower, 538 and three quarters. July soft red wheat down 2 cents, 542 and a half. July spring wheat futures closed at 606 and one half chip. That was up 6¼ cents on Friday.
Yeah, all in all, the wheat market performed very well last week heading into a three-day weekend. July SRW wheat up 17.5 cents on the week. July HRW up 22.25. And that spring wheat contract, July, up 33.25 cents last week.
Wow. Well, trade talks with the European Union are facing headwinds. And President Trump showed his frustration with the lack of progress by warning that he's considering a flat, broad-based tariff of 50% on any imports from the EU. That put the corn and soybean markets on the defensive for most of Friday's session. Adding price pressure was a better weather forecast for southern production areas, where growers are still working to finish corn planting. In the central, west, and northwestern production areas, there is a chance for rain this week, but the forecast is dried out from previous forecasts. After four consecutive higher closes to open last week, July corn futures posted a high range open and a low range close Friday. But prices back below that pivotal 460 level. July corn futures on Friday, 3.5 cents lower, 459.5. September corn down 3¼ cents to 437¾. December corn futures closed at 450 on Friday, down 2½ cents. Chip.
Yeah, corn had an impressive week last week as well, leading into the weekend. July corn on the week up 16 cents. December corn on the week was up 15¼.
Well, after four consecutive higher closes in July, soybeans, the contract gapped higher in the overnight and tried to push higher before profit-taking kicked in to drag prices lower on Friday. July beans spent most of last week inside of last Thursday's wide trading range, and Friday matched that day's high before turning lower. That makes the May 15 high at 10.73¼ in July beans strong resistance. July soybean oil also gapped sharply higher Friday, but opened on session highs and fell to fill the gap before posting a low-range close. July bean meal posted an inside trading day with a mid-range open and a low-range close. Price gains on Friday were stymied by profit-taking and trade tensions with the EU and China. July beans 7¼ cents lower, 10.60¼. August beans down 6.5 cents to 10.56. November beans closed at 10.50½. That's down 4¾ cents.
Yeah, they had a hard time figuring out what to do with that bean oil market last week. July bean oil on the week up 42 points. July soybean meal was up $4.30. July soybeans up 10¼. And November soybeans were up 15 cents on the week.
Well, Chip, December cotton futures started last week with price gains and then spent the rest of the week consolidating. December cotton on Friday, 37 points higher at 68.33, pal.
Yeah, up 96 points on the week. Pretty good week.
All right. Well, June fat cattle futures once again opened near session lows and ended near session highs, the sixth consecutive higher close with a narrow range. The end result was an inside trading week last week with a low range open and a high range close. The boxed beef market was another 82 cents higher Friday morning, helping to support the cash market and to pull futures higher. June fat cattle on Friday, 17.5 cents higher, 215.80. August feeder futures up 60 cents to $300.37.5. And on the snout side, lean hog futures opened on Monday last week near the high of the week and closed Friday near the low of the week.
Yeah.
June futures respected support near 97.50. June hogs 40 cents lower on Friday at 98.30. Chip.
Yeah, lean hogs were the only market that we talk about on a regular basis that were lower last week. That June contract down 202.5. Real quick, we had a very neutral cattle on feed report released on Friday afternoon. Placements were down 2.6%. The trade was looking for down 3.2. Marketings were down 2.5. The trade was looking for down 3.3. So you put it all together, and the inventory on May 1 was down 1.5%. The trade was looking for a 1.5% decline in inventory. On the week, June line live cattle were up $3.57.5. August feeder cattle last week up $2.77.5. We are talking weather, weather, weather. We got Brett Waltz, BAM WX, up next on AgriTalk.
As we step into the heart of the U.S. growing season, brace yourself. This is traditionally the grain market's most volatile stretch. Recent months have already brought dramatic price swings, and more turbulence could be likely. Having a trusted advisor by your side can make all the difference when navigating this volatile landscape and spotting profitable opportunities in the chaos. Markets move fast. Preparation is key. Opportunity favors the informed. Let's make the most of this season together. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Farmers, Elsevia is pleased to announce the new Hager City Grain Terminal is now open and accepting grain. Grain deliveries will be accepted Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. until 5 p.m. The new Hager City Terminal can unload your grain quickly and efficiently and ship it to markets in the Southwest and Pacific Northwest. Grain deliveries are being accepted at the Hager City Grain Terminal. Visit elsevia.com/HagerCity for more information.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk on this Memorial Day 2025. Markets were closed today, but you know, Davis, when the markets are closed, sometimes that gives us an opportunity to change things up a little bit and
take
a look
here.
At some. Yeah. We've got an opportunity. Why wouldn't we jump on it?
Why would we not? We tell others, take advantage of opportunities.
Yes.
Why would we not?
I don't know. Now, for the listeners of the morning show, every Monday morning, we get Brett Waltz on here from BAMWX.com, and we talk about, the outlook for the week ahead and maybe some of the warning flags that might be out there and everything. We do that just for a couple of minutes every Monday morning. Well, you're welcome, everyone, because we are going to take a deep dive into the weather outlook with Brett Waltz from BAMWX.com right now. Brett, it's good to talk to you. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm excited to give a little bit more of an in-depth look at what we're going to be expecting as we head into the growing season.
Fantastic. Happy Memorial Day, by the way.
Yeah, happy Memorial Day to you as well. Hope that you have a great holiday.
Yeah, very, very good. Very good. Okay. Let's start with a summary of some of the things that we've gone through this spring, and we've gone through plenty this spring. I think, Brett, we got to start with that wet pattern right up the Ohio River Valley as one of the things that I'm going to remember about 2025.
Yeah, you know, it's almost been hard to keep track because of how active that it's been. It just has not stopped along the Ohio River, especially for areas like southern Illinois, southern Indiana, Kentucky, parts of Ohio, Kentucky especially. Man, they have just been hit over and over with flooding and a lot of severe weather as well. A lot of these areas that have been very active with rain have also had a ton of severe weather compared to normal. Yeah. And it's been persistent. And I know that I've heard it from folks around here because our office is here in Indianapolis that, you know, there have been struggles to find windows for planting and get out into the fields as we've gone throughout late April and into May.
Yeah, that tale of the severe weather, Brett, all the way back into Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas, it's been kind of a violent spring, hasn't it?
It really has. And, you know, you look at some of the areas that have had the most tornadoes this year, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, you know, these are areas that have severe weather and get tornadoes, but they're not normally states that are in the top five for most tornadoes for the season so far. And so it has been a very, very busy spring for those folks on a number of levels, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And where the weather patterns haven't been stirring up a whole bunch of severe weather, the wind is still blowing with a persistence that has been frustrating to a lot of guys out there, Brett.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a lot of very strong low-pressure systems this spring, and they've had the tendency to kind of work right into the upper Midwest, and what typically happens when you get that is you get some rains and, you know, an early spring snow up in the northern plains, and then you get the severe weather south and east of where the low is, and then areas in the middle, Nebraska, Kansas, parts of Iowa, Missouri, typically get lighter precipitation, but a lot of wind swinging around that low pressure. And so because of the intensity of these lows this spring, we've had a lot of wind events. It's been one of the windiest springs that I can remember in some time.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, is it just our imagination or has this really been a windy
year? Yeah, it's been really windy. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I do remember back earlier this month, I saw an observation map just showing that it's been one of the windiest springs on record here in the Ohio Valley. And again, it's just related to the strength of these low-pressure systems that we've had this year.
Okay, what has been driving those low pressure systems the way they are? What's the dominant feature in the
battle? Yeah, so I think that it's the lingering impacts of some of the La Nina forcing that we had from this past winter. The atmosphere has taken a while to kind of slow down from that. Typically, when you get La Nina forcing, your global winds as a whole, your jet streams, they slow down. And when the jet streams slow down, it allows these low pressure systems to move slowly over the middle of the country and strengthen. And so as that has happened, when you get slower, stronger low pressure systems, well, your wind tends to turn stronger and it tends to hang around longer. And so the atmosphere has been very La Nina-like much of the spring. And I think ultimately that's the driving force behind it.
La Nina-like, but aren't we neutral?
Now? The ocean temperatures themselves were in that neutral state. But a lot of times the winds, the global winds and the tropical forcing along the equator, what actually is happening in the atmosphere, if you will, sometimes it lags behind what the ocean is doing. And that's what we've seen so far this spring.
Okay. Now, what does that tell us? Well, before we get into the outlook for the summer, dude, we got some great rains last week, like 3 inches on my little squirrel measuring device. That is still in inches, Davis. It's not in millimeters. So it's important to know.
Inches, I'm not familiar with that term.
You're not familiar with inches? Oh,
I'm a metric guy.
We'll have to get you back over to our way of thinking on this one. Yes, you do. But we had the big low that was circling, and man, oh, man, we opened up some rains up in the northwest production areas into northern Iowa. So, some really needed rains.
Yeah, they were really needed. If you looked at the soil moisture a week ago, those areas, just in terms of total column soil moisture in the ground, they were looking pretty rough. The rains that came through the past 7 days have been really, really, I think, important. And I think that the good thing about these rains is it takes off worst case scenario heading into the summer, which is if we had no rain coming into the summer, it would be very easy to get very hot and dry very quickly. And so really, I think that I can't state enough how important that these rains were over the past 7 days, because really before that, there wasn't much activity for a lot of those areas for much of May.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. There were some rains at the start of the month that came a little too hard, too fast, too furious for some guys. But for the most part, it was we then went through a period of dry conditions, yeah. and we got back to the point that we needed a rain in some areas, no question about it. Now, was that part of the continuation of the system, or was that a change in the pattern that brought those rains in?
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily a full-on pattern change. There was a couple of things going on in the atmosphere that allowed the jet stream. It actually even trended a little bit weaker, if you will. And so almost the La Nina background forcing was even a little bit stronger. It allowed the storm to come further west. And if you think about like winter time, when you're in a strong La Nina state, you typically get a lot of moisture and a lot of activity up into the north central part of the country in the winter time.
Yeah.
It was almost a little bit more similar to that, with the low tracking a bit further north and ultimately allowing for some rains to come a little bit further to the north and west there in areas that needed it. And so I wouldn't really say it's a pattern change. It's almost a continuation or more extreme pattern of what we've dealt with in the east.
Okay. Well, those cooler temperatures that we got had me thinking about a wintertime pattern out there, Brad. Good grief. When can we expect these temperatures to start to warm up?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty chilly. Through most of the end of May, it's going to be pretty cool compared to normal. I do think that if you're in the northern plains, the western plains, Nebraska, Kansas, South Dakota, North Dakota, we start to warm things up into early June. The eastern ag belt will moderate, but you probably stay cooler than normal as we go into the start of the month. But I would watch for the plains first to warm up as we start into early June, probably even a little bit above normal.
Yeah, explain to me just briefly what happened when we had that spike in the temperatures to really hot temperatures up in the Dakotas, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. It got triple digits up there.
Yeah, for sure. And what ended up happening there was a big area of high pressure that kind of got trapped in the north central part of the country in the Canadian prairies, which I think that at times this upcoming summer, we'll talk about in a minute, that we could see some of that. And we had a big low pressure system that kind of was trapped south and east. So areas south and east stayed cool. Areas north and west were very warm. And again, kind of more of the same as what we've dealt with for parts of this spring.
All right. Well, we are right in the middle of taking a deep dive into the weather. We've taken a look back. Sometimes you got to understand how things happened and why things happened before you can start to look forward and get a grasp of what might happen going forward. Well, that's what we're going to do with Brett next. We're going to take a look at the forecast for the next couple of weeks, and then we'll have Brett take us out to the middle of the growing season. Brett Waltz, BAM WX, here on AgriTalk.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use database uses photo matching technology across multiple social media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.org.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check Friday's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were a penny and a quarter lower at 538 and three quarters. July soft red wheat down 2 cents, 542 and one half. July corn futures 3.5 cents lower at 459 and a half. December corn futures Friday closed at 450 and three quarters, down 2.5 cents. July soybean futures were 7.25 cents lower at 1060 and a quarter. November beans closed Friday at 1050 and a half, down 4.75 cents. December cotton, 37 points higher, 68.63. On your livestocks, June fat cattle were 17 and a half higher on Friday at 215.80. August feeder futures up 60 cents to $300.37.5. June lean hogs 40 cents lower on Friday at 98.30. Get more, visit tryprofarmer.com.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Introducing Riverside Plaza, now open at the shop bays of Napa Auto Parts in Durand. Riverside Plaza is a Napa Auto Care Center offering expert service at a price you can afford. Get oil changes starting at just $22.50, plus oil and filter, including a full inspection and fluid top-off. Riverside Plaza also provides tire sales, repairs, fleet maintenance, diagnostics, and wheel alignments. Enjoy convenient drop-off and loyalty rewards. Open until 6 p.m. daily and Saturdays by appointment. Riverside Plaza, 403 West Madison Street, downtown Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to the low 70s for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at around 5 to 10. Tonight, becoming mostly cloudy, will drop down to 52. Tomorrow, cloudy with an isolated shower or thundershower and a high in the mid-60s. Get better, faster internet and pay less with Whole Home Connect. Call today, 800-217-9129. That's 800-217-9129. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Happy Memorial Day. We are in the middle of a conversation about the weather here with Brett Waltz from BAMWX.com. As I said in the last segment, we don't get Brett on the afternoon show that often. He's on the morning show with us every Monday morning. We do a quick two-minute hit about what to expect coming up, but it's a treat to get him here on the afternoon show and take a deeper dive into what is going on or what might happen now with the weather. Now, the last segment, we talked about what has happened, what was the driving forces out there. Let's talk about what might happen. Take us through the next couple of weeks, Brett, for the And you know what? You can get regional with us. If you want to talk about the Eastern Belt, the Western Belt, Central Belt, just make sure that we know what area you're talking about as you get into it.
Yeah, for sure. Happy to. And, well, I can tell you the start's pretty easy. It's going to be chilly. You know, the next 10 days, especially for the entirety of the central and northern tier of the country, really, probably even the eastern half of the country, it's just going to be cooler than normal. In fact, in some areas, much below normal temperatures. I know that, you know, a couple of areas to the north getting frost and freeze potential this past weekend and into early this week. And so chilly for late May standards, no doubt about it. Now, what will happen as we have this cooler air come down is it will get less active. And I'm specifically looking at the upper Midwest, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, northern Iowa, northern Indiana, those areas in there. I think that the next 14 days especially are a little bit drier than normal. Now, some of the areas, let's say western Nebraska, Kansas, South Dakota, that couple of spots in there did get skipped over. Most got some rain, but a couple of those spots did get skipped over. I do think that there are rain opportunities to help as we close May and we start out June. Now, what I think starts to happen as we go into early to mid-June is that upper Midwest drier risk, it starts to become accompanied by some warmth. And I do think that there's the potential for some of those areas to start drying out. If you think back to the last couple of years, that upper Midwest, again, Iowa, Minnesota, parts of South Dakota, Wisconsin, northern Illinois, they've had the tendency to get drier to start out summer. And I see some tendencies to head that direction as well into the start of this summer.
Okay. You know, when we hear warmer and drier, there are some people out there that are going to say, well, Brett, it's summer.
Sure.
You know, it's going to be warmer. It's going to be drier. But what you're talking about is compared to normal or compared to average, correct?
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. So how much warmer? How much drier? That's what we're all trying to figure out.
Yeah. Well, I would say the next couple of weeks, you're probably, let's say, 40 to 50% of the normal. So you're not bone dry. You're still getting some rains, but they're fewer and far between, if you will. They're not as widespread. They're not as intense. I do think that at first the warmth isn't that notable. I think you're slightly warmer than normal. I don't really think that the more concerning heat and more widespread dryness, I don't really think that that sets up until later in June. Okay. You know, I think this is just kind of starting out, setting the stage, trending in that direction for maybe more concerns later in June and into July.
Okay. I know you know this, and I'm not saying, hey, they're all the same. That's not what I'm doing when I say this, Brett. But BAMWX is not alone in this outlook for a warm and drier summer in the western production areas. Why is there such a consensus this year?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's a couple of reasons for that. I'll get into the research side of things here in a moment, but I want to mention model data, which isn't our first go-to. When we're looking at a seasonal forecast, we look at research and we look at analog data years that are similar to this year first. But I think that one of the reasons why there's been above normal confidence and why a lot of forecasts have been similar is because the model data really since February has locked in on a hotter than normal and a drier than normal risk for the Western production regions. They've been remarkably consistent. I've been doing this now for 8 years, and I don't remember model data for a summer outlook being so consistent at this distance.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, okay, so that gets everybody in the same arena, right?
It for sure does. I think that it builds forecast confidence, but you know, for us, it's critical to see what are the ocean patterns doing? What are the atmospheric winds doing? And right now we're in really the fourth or fifth year in a row of a Pacific Ocean pattern that we call the Pacific Decadal Oscillation. It's basically the colder than normal waters off the west coast of the United States and North America. And traditionally, when you get that type of a pattern, it limits the amount of moisture the jet stream can transport, and it typically leads to drier risk. Now, there's year-to-year variations. This year, we're coming out of a La Nina, going into the neutral state we alluded to earlier in terms of ENSO. And if you look at years that did something similar, they also tended to lean a little bit drier. They also tended to lean warmer. You know, I think the question at that point is just, okay, how extreme does it get at this point? You know, is it a 2012 level, or is it a year like, you know, 2006 that had some dryness, that had some heat, but wasn't as extreme?
Right, right. The heat question, because even when you just go back to 2024, we had some dry conditions. That drought that we had the second half of the growing season in the Western Belt was real.
Yeah.
I mean, it really happened. It took some yield off, especially on soybeans. I don't think there's any question about it. Mm-hmm. But everybody keeps saying what saved us was we didn't have the heat. Now, there have been some hot conditions in that Western production area, but I remember a time where the heat really set in out there, and we haven't seen that for the past few years. What's the risk there? What are some of the issues that might be driving your heat outlook?
Yeah, you know, I think that a couple of things. Number one is, if you look at where we've been, if you look at the combination just for spring as a whole, in terms of temperatures versus normal highs specifically, and precipitation versus normal, we are in a little bit of a deficit, even with the recent rains. And so that helps drive some of the hotter risks. Now, I don't think that we're as extreme as a year like 2012. So let's just go ahead and put that out there. I don't think we're that hot. But again, if you look at that research, you look at years that match both the Pacific and the ENSO state, it favors some heat, especially for the middle part of the growing season versus maybe later like it was, you know, last year. You know, I think it's late June into July this year, which is obviously a very important time frame. And so I think the timing of it is maybe just as important as the intensity of it, because I don't think June starts out all that hot. And the very end of August, you know, the back half of summer may end up a little bit less extreme as well. And so it's the timing of it that has my attention personally.
Gotcha. The greatest risk of heat coming right in the middle of the growing season, July and August.
Yep.
That's what I hear you saying. You've mentioned years like this a couple of times. Is there an analog year that you're looking at?
Yeah, there are a couple, but I'll be honest, I don't think there's one perfect year. I really think it's a blend of a couple of different years. Years that we have been on, 2012 is an analog. It's not going to match 2012. There are differences for sure, but there are things about it that we like, and so we throw it into the mix. 2006 is another one. 2001 has been one that's been good. There's even some tendencies, like 2011 was a very hot summer. Again, I don't think it's perfect, but it's a very good oceanic analog. And then more recently, 2021, that year had heat and dryness, but it was a little bit further to the north. And so when I mix these years together, I start to get a little bit of a better idea of the blend, if you will, of what this year will feature, because you add those years together and it matches up very closely to how this year is evolving. And all five of those years I've mentioned on and off have been good analogs throughout spring.
Yeah. And I think they all had, I mean, I'm running through my head here real quick, but they all had some midsummer concerns for yields.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think I'm trying to remember back 2001, 06 and 21. They were all right around trend line, I believe.
Yeah.
11 and 12 obviously were much below trend line. But, you know, I think that the key here is, again, the timing for corn specifically. And when these years tended to get hotter and drier. There could be some timely rains, especially early and late in the growing season. It's that middle part I'm concerned about. And the late relief, if you will, and where I think that it could stay wetter in the eastern belt, lower Ohio Valley, where it's been wet all spring, that may help from a soybean perspective, I think.
Okay. Brent, I'm going to say that you're raising a flag for midsummer concerns.
I would say so, yeah. I think that there are definitely going to be concerns. And if I had to pinpoint an area, I'm thinking Nebraska, I'm thinking Kansas, I'm thinking western Iowa, northern Missouri, northern Illinois, kind of in that corridor in there. That could creep into parts of southern Minnesota as well. We'll have to fine-tune the precise area. You know, maybe it could turn to tick north or trick south, but that's the spot right now that I'd be monitoring very carefully.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of history behind that area that you've been or that you just outlined. For those familiar with some of the roads in Iowa, it's Highway 71 to the west, mm-hmm. is what we're talking about. And boy, that has been a dividing line many, many times for rains over the years, and it's something that we're going to have to watch again very closely. Brett, this was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on, and hopefully we can do it again sometime.
Fantastic. Thank you, Brett. That is Brett Waltz, BamWX.com. Davis and I will be right back to wrap things up on this Memorial Day next.
Hey, get in.
What? Who are you?
I'm future you. Constipation with belly pain still coming back?
Yeah.
Mia, our doctor figured it out. She said it's irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, and Linzess could help you get ahead of it.
Linzess Linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
When you switch to Progressive and bundle your home and auto, you could save hundreds, and that's a surprising amount of money.
Whoa, that's like farmer's market money.
That's like, give me a gallon of that locally sourced raw honey money.
That's certified organic heirloom tomatoes in every imaginable color except red money.
That's, let's get 2 pounds of pink oyster mushrooms money. I'm not even sure I like pink oyster mushrooms.
Guess it's time to find out, because you could save hundreds when you switch to Progressive and bundle. Then the world is your pink oyster mushroom. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Not available in all states.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Turn your book idea into publishing gold.
800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
Helping others.
That's what we were taught. Service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You say you'd never give in to a meltdown. Never let kids' toys take over the house. And never fill your feed with kid photos. You'd never plan your life around their schedule. Never lick your thumb to clean their face. And you'd never let them leave the house looking like less than their best. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it. Never let them stay up too late. And never let them run wild through the grocery store.
Peanuts on aisle 6 and aisle 3.
So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, no, it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Man, oh man, that was a good conversation to have on Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day to you all. Hope you're having a great day. Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. You know, guys, it is not that often. He kind of made it sound like it isn't that rare for all the weather forecasters to line up with the same general outlook. It is. That it doesn't happen as often as you might think. There's different interpretations of the models. There are different organic modeling and influences to the patterns out there that these weather forecasters focus on. So when we've got the weather forecasting community kind of lining up with this idea that by the time we get to the middle of June, we're going to be looking at a hotter than normal pattern. We're going to be looking at a drier than normal pattern, especially in the Western Corn Belt, but slide that on over into the Central Belt and Eastern Iowa, maybe even Western Illinois will get in on that. So it's a lot of things that we got to keep track of as we make our way through the summer. Okay, it is Monday. That means it's time for an update from Kerry Artak. Don't forget you can go to artakadvisory.com. That's A-R-T-A-C advisory.com to take a look at what Kerry and his team does on the commodity side. If you're interested in the stocks, go to wickedstocks.com and get signed up for the free trial there. All right, Kerry, take it.
Yeah, thanks, Chip. I'm starting with July wheat. Soft red winter, that is Chicago Board of Trade wheat. We tested a six-month channel top last week. We told our subscribers as an objective over the last 2 to 3 weeks, we reached it, we tested, and we've fallen away modestly. It's at 551 even this week. It can actually contain buying through the balance of July contract life. In other words, over the next 3 to 5 weeks, we can fall back into the 489.50 to 495 even area. And this is a much more significant zone of support as it applies to the broader wheat futures market, September contract, December contract, et cetera. It's on the weekly continuation chart. If we happen to test 489.50 to 495 even by the end of June, let's say, it can contain selling not only through the balance of July contract life, but broader market selling through summer activity and into later year. Now, for the upside, if we can close the week Friday above 551 even July wheat, then I actually see a good low into expiration. We should then continue forging higher to 600 even, 610, the low 600 area. 600 even, 610 is meaningful resistance. Once again, it can contain buying not only through the balance of July contract life, but perhaps broader market buying through summer activity as it applies also, or at least it will, to the September contract. On to July lean hogs. Last week I mentioned July lean hogs because we rolled from June to July. Big resistance at 104.32, I'd mentioned. 103.97 was the high last week for the July contract, and we have fallen away modestly. Presently trading in the 101 area, but 104.32 drops to 104.17 this week. It is a long-term three-year channel top that may contain broader market buying through the rest of the year, which is to say, you know, not only the July contract, but the August and October, et cetera, et cetera. From here, we can fall back to 95 and a quarter by July expiration over the next 3 to 5 weeks. The clear signal on weakness for that as we move into later June would be a settlement this week below 98.57. 98.57 may contain weekly lows, and if we close below 98.57, 95 and a quarter likely within about 2 to 3 weeks, where July can bottom out into its expiration. Longer term, holding below 104.17, the broader lean hog futures market, which is to say the back contracts, can continue to unwind all the way south into the upper 80s. 87 even is a long-term support area on the weekly chart. On the other hand, if we can close the week Friday above 104.17, we have a long-term buy signal for the broader lean hog futures market. I would expect 109.65 within about 2 to 3 weeks, but over the next 3 to 5 months, let's say by the end of the year, 123 even would be expected with a weekly settlement above 104.17. Until then, we can get heavy and fall away significantly into the upper 80s over the same longer-term time horizon. Finally, stock pick of the week, wickedstocks.com. We also have a free YouTube channel you might want to check out, Wicked Stocks. Look us up. Anyway, this week's stock pick is Anheuser-Busch, symbol BUD, as in Budweiser, of course. Anyway, we see a meaningful buy signal emerge just last week that remains in effect above 68.46. We closed around 69.15 last week. 68.46 is new long-term support, able to contain selling through the rest of the year, and above which we're expecting 20% plus gains on Anheuser-Busch as we continue through the rest of the year. 84.33 expected, where we could actually top out on a monthly, possibly through the balance of the year basis, but we're a long way from reaching in. So this is a fresh buy signal, solid 20% plus move to the upside. On the other hand, if we close the week Friday back below 68.46, it is, after all, a three-year horizontal channel top. This stock is then likely to erode in value on that failed buy signal, which is in essence a valid sign of weakness. I would expect the upper 50s, 58 even, within a month or two, but we really don't want to, we're not presenting sell side, we're presenting buy sides on the wickedstocks.com. Solid buy signal above 68.46 for Anheuser-Busch, and you can go long in the present vicinity, anticipating 84.33 by the end of the year or sooner. And that's pretty much all I've got this week, Chip. Thanks much.
Excellent, Kerry. Hey, thank you so much. We appreciate that. Don't forget, go to ourtechadvisory.com or Wicked Stocks, or, why would I say or? And go to ourtechadvisory and wickedstocks.com. and take a look at what the work that Kerry and his team do there. Guys, I hope you are all having a great Memorial Day. I hope you have taken some time to remember the sacrifices of the servicemen and women that made the ultimate sacrifice. We're going to be back here tomorrow morning. We've got Randy Doughty and David Hula with us tomorrow morning. We're going to take a look at that. Have a great night, everybody. This is AgriTalk.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Another checkup? Why are so many people getting new puppies?
Dr. Kim's veterinary office is littered with cuteness.
We are booked solid for weeks, but who can say no to a puppy, right? Oh, sugar boy.
She needs to find extra vet techs to get those pups some extra love.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, candidates can find it easier, so you can hire easier. Redeem your $75 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
Progressive knows there are some surprisingly expensive things in life, like fences. A house with a big yard and a white picket fence was always the dream. But then you saw the price to install a fence, and you're wondering if the color is driving the price up. Nobody ever dreams of a beige or a gray picket fence, right? So maybe those fences are cheaper. But no, they're not. Then you remember that switching your home and auto to Progressive could save you hundreds and make all your dreams of a fence come true. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
You're listening to WRGN 14.